Okay, today we begin a brand new study in a brand new book of the Bible. We're going to be studying Deuteronomy verse by verse, and today we pick it up in chapter 1, verse 1. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, "These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the desert east of the Jordan, that is, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazareth, and Dizahab." Moses is said to be speaking to all Israel. Well, the fact is he was not speaking to 2.5 million Israelites here all at one time. That would have been impossible back in those days. He was speaking, obviously, to the elders from each tribe who would then pass this message on to their people. Notice verse 2, it says, "It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road." It only takes 11 days to go from Horeb, or Mount Sinai. It takes 11 days to go from the mountain where Moses received the commandments to the edge of the Holy Land. It only takes 11 days. It took Israel 40 years. You say they must have been moving slow. No. It took them 40 years because they rebelled against God the first time they reached the Holy Land. And so he made them turn around, go back into the wilderness, and wander for 40 years as punishment. Verse 3. "In the 40th year," and so the 40 years of wandering are over, "in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them." So the law that God gave the people 40 years earlier is delivered to them once again in this speech given by Moses. Verse 4. "This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and at Edrei, and defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth." After God defeated these two enemies of Israel and proved once again that he was Israel's protector and provider, he will remind them that he is also their lawgiver. In verse 5, it says, "East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying..." Now, this is the second time Moses gave Israel the law of God. The first time was at Mount Sinai about 40 years earlier. But anyway, here we go. Verse 6. "The Lord your God said to us at Horeb," or at Mount Sinai, "you have stayed long enough at this mountain." Now, way back in the second month of the second year after they left Egypt, that is what Moses is referring to when he reminds Israel that God spoke to them from Horeb, or Mount Sinai. Verse 7, it's what God said, "Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates." The Israelites had camped by Mount Sinai for about a year. And Moses says, "At that time, God told us to pack up and continue our journey to the land that he promised." Verse 8. "See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." And so, just a reminder that God promised the Holy Land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all their descendants. And that guaranteed that they would have it. And that guaranteed that the Israelites would have it. All that was left for their descendants, the Israelites, to do was to walk in and by God's power take possession of it. Verse 9, At that time I said to you, you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. And it was a tough job for Moses. It was too big of a job to govern all Israel by himself. So it was at that time, way back when they were at Sinai about 40 years earlier, it was at that time that Moses asked for some assistance. Verse 10. Moses says, the Lord your God has increased your numbers so that today you are as many as the stars in the sky. And that's why it was just too big of a job for Moses to handle alone. There was no way. Moses had tried to settle all the disputes that occurred between 2 million plus Israelites. And, they had multiplied to the point where he just couldn't handle it alone anymore, and probably really never could, although he tried for quite a while. Verse 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. And so Moses doesn't want to appear to be complaining, and so he interjects a blessing or a prayer that the Israelites would continue to multiply. And so he wasn't upset at God or upset at them because there were so many of them. He was happy that God made them multiply. It was a sign of God's blessing. But happy or not, it still had become too much work for one man to handle. Verse 12. But how can I bear your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself? And so Moses, he was a man of God and he was in good physical condition, but Moses was no Superman. He could not possibly hear all of their cases and settle every single controversy that came up. Verse 13. Choose some wise, understanding, and respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. The people were allowed to choose their own leaders. You know, free elections are biblical. That is a biblical principle. But along with free election, where people are free to choose their own leaders, you know, the voters also have a responsibility before God to elect people who fear the Lord and have good character. Verse 14. You answered me, what you propose to do is good. And so the people, they saw the wisdom in Moses' suggestion. You know, give him some assistance. That was a wise thing to do. That's going to ease Moses' workload. Not only that, it's also going to speed justice for the people. Verse 15. So I took the leading men of your tribes, wise and respected men, and appointed them to have authority over you as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and as tribal officials. These leaders were given authority over the people, the Bible says. They were given authority. They helped keep order, and they judged between disputes. Man needs that. Man was never designed to operate without human leadership. The human race was designed to function under authority, under the authority of human leaders, who are themselves under the authority of God. And so this action was full of wisdom. Verse 16. And I charged your judges at that time, hear the disputes between your brothers and judge fairly, whether the case is between brother Israelites or between one of them and an alien. And so it didn't matter who the parties in the dispute and the disputes might be. It was to be judged fairly and impartially. They were to judge impartially. the judges were to hear both sides and give both sides time to tell their story and to present any evidence that they may have. Verse 17, God instructed them, do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God. Hear me, bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it. And so, don't show favoritism, Moses told them. Don't show favoritism for any reason at all. They may be a friend, or they may be an enemy. Well, don't judge in favor of somebody simply because they are your friend, and don't judge against someone because they may be your enemy. Doesn't matter. They may be rich, and they may be poor. They may be old or young, male or female, good-looking or not so good-looking. Do not take into consideration any of those things. Judge by the facts. And oh yeah, by the way, don't be intimidated. Do what is right. Verse 18. And at that time, I told you everything you were to do. Now, as a basis for judgment, Moses gave them the laws and regulations that God gave him on Mount Sinai. So they didn't just elect a bunch of officials to rule over them and then say, now just go by whatever you think is right. They had the Word of God for the basis of their government. They had the Word of God and the law of God as the basis for their judgment. Verse 19. Then, as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all that vast and dreadful desert that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. And it was a rough trip through the wilderness, but God took care of them until they arrived at Kadesh Barnea, which was on the very end of the Holy Land, right on the edge. Verse 20. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. The hill country of the Amorites was in the southern part of the Holy Land. It was one of the seven nations that the Israelites were told by God to destroy and possess. Verse 21. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The people in the land were big, and they were strong, and they were numerous too. And the cities in that land, they were fortified. But God wanted them to know that the details were His business. Israel's business is to go in there and take it. And we'll stop there for today, and we'll pick up our study in verse 22 next time. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, Michael Murat here. God bless you.